All right, how many of you guys ready to hear the word this morning? All right. Well, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 20. That's our kids' church, by the way. Mike and Mary, you're blowing them up back there. You may, if you want to get up and check on your kids, that's okay with me. Oh, man. All right. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word transforms us. I thank you that your word motivates us to share our faith, to be forward with our faith. And Lord, this morning, I pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice would be encouraged and strengthened and edified to go forth and make you known. Lord, I thank you for divine appointments for each and every person in this room. I pray, Lord, that you would allow them to come across the path of someone that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, give them the courage and the opportunity to speak into their lives, Lord. Not that they have to be some eloquent orator, but that they simply are witnesses to what they have seen and what they have heard and experienced in their own lives. God, I pray that you would give them the anointing to do so and the tools as well, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we count it a privilege to be in your house this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So what makes people so hesitant about sharing their faith? What is it that absolutely strikes fear into each and every believer to share their faith? Sometimes when the word evangelism is being said or spoken, it strikes fear. Our hands get sweaty, our face starts to become pale, and we start backpedaling. Like, I don't know, I mean, aren't you like the professional here, Pastor? I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to come and listen. No. We are supposed to be actively sharing our faith. Why? Because we have been saved. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. We were once dead in our sins, and now we are alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? And because of that, that is cause for celebration. And so, let me share with you just some hindrances this morning to sharing your faith. Number one, I'm afraid that I might do more harm than good. That's legitimate. Okay, that's legitimate. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I may not be able to give snappy answers to tricky questions. I can't do that. I may seem bigoted or intolerant. Now, let me stop right here. I watch the news quite often, and I see cultural events in our country, and I see trends. And there's trends, a negative trend toward Christianity, that because we share our faith, or because that we uphold the laws of the Bible and Jesus' teaching, that we are somehow bigoted and intolerant, that we don't love people, that we're not concerned with them, that we don't treat others the same way as we treat other people, or that we judge other people. But as we share our faith, and go forward with the gospel, we are always going to be rejected. We're always going to have people say, I don't want to hear any of that. I think that's wrong. I think that you're wrong. I think this, that, and the other. All of those things will happen. Jesus said, when people say those things, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting the teachings of Christ. They're rejecting the love of Christ. Because Jesus wasn't all about sitting around a campfire and singing Kumbaya. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my what? If you love me, you will obey. And see, Jesus is saying that if you trust me, if you love me, then yes, I love you, but there are consequences to not obeying. Amen? When Jesus healed or forgave a lady for the sin and the adultery in her life, he said, go and what? Sin no more. He put stipulations on it, didn't he? He said, he gave her a warning and said, if you do not stop doing what you're doing, it will come back on you twofold. So Jesus is not someone that is just, oh, everything is loving, everything is kind, everything is great, everything is just whatever you want it to be. No, Jesus put stipulations into his teaching. He said, if you love me, you will obey me. Amen? And so just because you share your faith and you share what the Word of God says doesn't make you bigoted or intolerant. It makes you a Bible-believing Christian. Amen? Another excuse is, I may invade someone's privacy. Now, these are not something that I'm trying to get onto you about, because these are legitimate. These are very legitimate. As a matter of fact, I told you last week that is our culture's biggest lie today, is that your faith should be a private matter. Don't push it on me. And our culture wants to say, be quiet about your faith and practice it in private. Practice it in private. Don't be shoving it over here. Well, as believers, we shouldn't be shoving anything. We should be displaying what Christ has done in our life. Let our life speak louder than our words. Amen? Let our life exude the love of Christ. And not only that, but we have to speak, because people are going to want to know what is so different about you. And when that happens, the Bible says, as we have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. And as we have those opportunities, we can share and be forward with our faith. That is a lie that our culture is trying to speak into us, that our faith should be private. It shouldn't go to work with us. It shouldn't go to church or to Walmart with us. It shouldn't go anywhere else but in the church and in the privacy of our home. That is a lie. Because and as a matter of fact, that is complete disobedience to the teachings of Jesus. When he was on the mountain about to ascend into heaven, he said, go. Make disciples, teaching them to obey my commands, teaching them. And so how can we do that except we go? Amen? We have to go. Another hesitation about sharing our faith is, I'm afraid that I might fail. I'm afraid I might be a hypocrite. All of those things are legitimate. And we were talking about this morning, Bijou and Pastor Gerald, we were talking about this. And people, a lot of believers think that if we don't lead someone to Christ, then we have failed. That could be further from the truth. Because whenever we share our faith, it's up to the Lord to save, not us. We can't save a single person. We can't save anyone. We can't get someone to heaven. It's only Jesus that did that. I didn't die for their sins. He did. Our job is to go and to tell and profess Jesus to anyone that will listen to us. That doesn't mean just going down to the street corner and looking out and start to preach in the air or anything. I'm not saying that. But as we go, as you have opportunity, speak the name of Christ. Invite someone to church. I'm going to be handing out some of these admit one. Now, you can bring more than that, but it just says admit one on here, okay? But inside it's going to have all the information about the church, and it's a tool for you to share your faith. To share your faith. And so these are some of the things that we're going to be doing. And one of the other excuses is that I'm afraid I might fail. You're not going to fail. What if I don't know the right answers to their questions? Say, I don't know. That's what I do. A lot of people come to me and they say, Pastor, I need to know about this. And I'm like, I've learned to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you on it. Or let's look it up together and see. Let's learn something together. Because your pastor does not know everything. Now, I know that is a major revelation to you. But I do not know everything. But you know something, and you know something, and you have an experience with the Lord, and you have an experience with the Lord. You've received God's healing. You've received God's forgiveness. You've received God's grace in a certain way. And because of that, when we come together, all these experiences are speaking the goodness of Jesus. Amen? But the most common fear of sharing our faith is this: being rejected. Being rejected. Who likes to be rejected? Raise your hand. Hurry, 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 quick. Nobody. No one likes to be rejected. You know what? I used to, when I was 16 years old, had a stepdad, and I'd spent my summers in Memphis. And he had a telemarketing business, and it was selling vinyl siding. All right? I can't remember my script. Nor I had it down, and I can't remember it. But I would just cold call people, talk about vinyl siding. I had no clue about vinyl siding, didn't even know what the colors were. He just, you know, and so I had to be creative about this thing. And so I got a lot of no's. I got a lot of, you know what time it is, I'm eating with my family. I'm one of those telemarketers I used to be. And so I got rejected a lot. I got a lot of no's. I got a lot of profanity. I got a lot of those different things. And but you got to be thick-skinned. Sometimes you're going to be rejected. The first time I ever shared my faith with someone, I'd just gotten saved. How many of you guys know who Carmen is? So, you know, back in the early 90s, late 80s, he was selling out stadiums. Had dancers. I mean, it was crazy. So anyway, we were going out inviting people to the Carmen concert in Memphis and like some of the projects. And so I went up to the door, saw this guy lying on the couch, and he was this big, burly guy, and I was shaking like a leaf. Knocked on his door, he looked at me, looked at the TV, looked at me again. He was like, "What is a skinny kid want, you know?" And I said, "Hey, sir, how you doing?" It was a screen door. I knew he could see me, you know. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Come on in. What are you selling?" And I go, "I'm selling Jesus." And he goes, he looked at me like the remote control was on his belly, you know. And he goes, "What?" I said, I'm selling Jesus. And he goes, "I'm an atheist." I go, "I don't know what that is, but if you'll just let me talk to you about Jesus for a minute." And he sit up on his couch and he goes, "You know, I don't think you understood what I said." He goes, "I don't believe in God." And I go, "Is that what an atheist is?" He goes, "Yeah." And I went, "Well, what can I do to convince you that Jesus is real?" And he goes, "I don't know." I go, "Well, there's a concert tonight. If you want to come to it, it's going to be awesome. It's a free ticket. It's going to be completely sold out. These are exclusive tickets just for you." And he goes, he got up and he gave them to me. He was very gracious, but I was shaking like a leaf. I was so nervous and scared. The first person I ever witnessed to didn't believe in God. So after that, it just had to go up for me, right? I mean, anyway, the fear that I had about going and knocking on this guy's door was the fear of being rejected. No one wants to be rejected. But we've learned through Jesus' life that he was rejected by the very people that he created. He was there in their formation. He was there when he spoke life and destiny into them. He was there, and yet he came down, and he was rejected by the very people that he created and loved. We learn that Jesus was teaching, and masses were following him, and they loved him, and they were throwing palm branches down at his feet as they were going by, and they were doing all of these different things to celebrate Jesus. But at the end of the day, Jesus turned around and he looked at people that just wanted to see a miracle, that just wanted to see something cool. He looked at them and he said, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no place with me." Well, that sounds weird, right? I mean, even if I was in the crowd that day, I'd have been going, you know, that's gross. You know, why would you say that? I'm not going to do that. Why would you? I'm not going to eat you, you know. I'm not going to drink your blood. But that's what people were saying. And Jesus, in other words, Jesus was saying, unless you are devoted to me, like a husband is to his wife, unless you become one with me, unless you love my words more than you love your life, then you have no place with me. And the Bible recounts that one by one, they all began to walk away. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, well, will you leave me too? And Peter spoke up and he said, well, where else can we go? You alone hold the words of truth and life. So Jesus knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was like for his own creation, the love, his very love to turn. Not only to reject him, but to mutilate him, to kill him, to cause him to die on a cross, a traitor's death. Jesus knew what it was to be rejected. There was a survey given at a Billy Graham crusade in Detroit. And the question was asked, what is your greatest hindrance to witnessing? 51% said the biggest hindrance was the fear of how other people would react when we spoke about Christ. 51% says the fear of how people will react, how people will perceive me after the cat is out of the bag, when I announce that I am born again. And you know what? It takes time for people to see results in your life. I think I told you guys once before, the greatest compliment I ever received came from my brother. And after I'd gotten saved, all I knew was that Jesus has come into my life. I've been forgiven, and that's about all I knew. And I was sharing this with my brother at bedtime, and we shared a room. And he's on one side of the room, I'm on the other. And I said, hey, Jake, I said, have you noticed the difference in me? He goes, mm-hmm. He said, you're acting really good. I said, well, what else have you noticed? He goes, I don't know. You don't swear as much, I guess. And I said, well, what else? And he goes, I don't know. What is this, 50 questions? And I said, have you noticed Jesus, like, in me? He goes, I don't even know what that means. And I said, I mean, have you noticed, like, a difference? I said, I don't know what I'm trying to say. And he said, have I noticed that you're a Christian? And I said, yes. And he goes, yeah. He goes, but I don't know how long that's going to last because I know you. Because I know you. And I said, and that kind of bothered me. And I said, you know what? I don't know how long it's going to last either. I know me. And I said, but I know that I'm changed. Something is way different in me. And I have a desire to read the Bible for the first time and to pray. And I feel God's presence in my life. And Jake goes, okay, good night, you know. several months after that, my mother came up to me and she said, I want to share something to you, with you, that your brother said about you. And I went, oh boy. And I said, what is it? And he said, we were talking about you going to church and everything else. And he said, my mom said, your brother told me, you know, Mom, I've been waiting for Jimmy to mess up or to go back to the way he used to be. And she said, my brother said, I don't think that he ever will. I think he truly is changed. And for me, that is the greatest compliment that anyone could ever give me, is that they see Jesus in me. They don't know they see Jesus in me, but they see him. And to us, as believers, this world needs to see Christ in you. It needs to be exuding from every part of us. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been flipped off since I've moved to Green Bay. I've been flipped off many times. And it wasn't even my fault. I'm like, wow, one was from a little old lady, you know, at a roundabout. I'm like, she flipped me off. I'm like, it's your fault. You know, what are you doing? But Christ in us should be in the way we treat others when it's not our fault. Or when we're going down the road and we get cut off. And look, I'm not talking about ever getting angry again. I'm not talking about never getting upset or mad or making a mistake again, because I can't live up to that. So I'm not going to tell you to do something I can't do myself. But what we can do is allow people to see the true us. Take off your religious mask and allow people to see who you really are. Because that will speak louder than anything else. Amen? Now that brings us to our point today. We want to wrap our minds around what the Great Commission is all about. So let's look at John chapter 20, verse 21. If you don't have your Bibles, it should be up there. It says, "And Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." Who's doing the sending here? Jesus is doing the sending. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And so, because he has given all authority unto him, we now have authority through Christ. Now, when you go down the road and you see that there's a speed limit that says 55, and you're going 65, and all of a sudden there's some lights happening behind you, and you pull over, why is it that you pull over? You pull over because authority has been given to the person with the lights on top of their car, right? And if you continue to drive and not pull over, it's going to get worse for you. Isn't that right? Not that I would know anything about that, but I'm just saying that if you don't pull over, you guys watch Cops, all right? Come on. So if you don't pull over, it's going to get worse. And so the reason why we pull over is because the authority behind us. Now, the men wearing the blue suits with the badge on, with the car, with the lights and everything else, they've been empowered by the state, correct? And because of that, we can't fight the state when it comes to the law. They carry the weight of the law. And that authority is in them. And so that's why we pull ourselves over. Now, authority is only good as the one who's giving the authority. Amen? And Jesus has said, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me." And he said, "Therefore, go. Make disciples, teaching them my commands, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always unto the end of the age." And so he has given us authority. And because he has given us authority, we now can take authority down here over our fear, over our temptation to not say anything whatsoever, but to make a difference in this world. Now, when you witness, you should have the peace of God as well with you. Now, the first time I witnessed, I told you, I didn't understand that. I went shaking like a leaf, knocking on this guy's door, all right? I didn't know what I was going to get. So where does this peace come from? Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." That peace comes from Christ and him alone. Amen? It doesn't come deep within us. It doesn't come when we void our mind and we contemplate on life. Peace comes when the Spirit of God comes inside of it. It originates with Christ Jesus. So when we are witnessing, we should remember that you have the call of God on your life. Here are 10 words that should impact your life forever. You ready? "As the Father has sent me, I send you." Well, you guys are getting a light show over here, aren't you? "I send you." So the authority is given through Christ. He is sending you. Amen? It's not that we want to just go out. We have been given the authority by Christ to be sent. If somebody would just turn that light off, I think that'd probably help. All right, now, we are... Hello, silhouettes. So just all the scriptures are going to be up here on the board, okay? We'll just go with it. All right, so we are to go as Jesus went. Everything depends on our attitude as well, okay? Let's look at Jesus' attitude in Philippians 2:5. It says this, Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Mark 10:45 says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all. There it is up on the board. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom to many. Jesus went as a servant. There was a time when Jesus was around the supper table, and he was reclining with his friends, with his 12 disciples. And they were all talking about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was like, man, give me a break, you know. So he gets up and he gets a water basin, puts some water in it, and he takes a towel around from his waist, and he takes it off, and he starts to go down around the table as they're reclining. And they're reclining not in chairs but on pillows, because that's how they did it back then. They sat around and Jesus washed their feet. Now, if we take our socks off right now, we may have maybe some smelly, clammy feet, but we're not going to have any nasty, like, mud-covered, I don't know, maybe some of you died, I'm not sure, but they wear sandals here, okay? And it was customary that when you come into someone's house, that there's a water basin there, you wash your feet off, and then you come in. But Jesus, instead, as they were reclining, he stooped down. He stooped down and he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter, he goes, no, Lord, you will not wash my feet. And Jesus said that if you don't allow me to do this, then you'll have no part of me. And Peter said, well, Lord, not only my feet, but my head as well, because I want to be with you, Lord. So by all means, everything else. And so Jesus taught them that the greatest of these are the least of these. I learned this the hard way years ago. I came on staff at a church as the associate pastor, and man, every button on my shirt was about to pop off. I was just so proud and excited to be in this position. And we had an evangelist come in, and he was speaking, and God was really moving on this evangelist. And there was this little old lady there in the front row, and as the altar call was coming up, God was using her to pray over people, and they were being healed. They were receiving the Holy Spirit. They were getting saved. All these different things, and the Lord was using her. And I'm sitting there going, "Man, nobody's called me up, and I'm the associate pastor here." And I'm starting to get irritated. I'm starting to tell you the real deal here now. Okay, no fronts, just raw Jimmy McDonald. All right, and so I'm getting irritated, and I'm thinking, Lord, This little old lady is getting all the action here, and I've yet to pray for one single person. I'm being left out. And the Lord said, I will use even the least of these to make the proudest of these be ashamed. And I went, oh man, I'm so sorry, Lord. And I said, Lord, then by all means, use whoever you will. Use whoever you will. And when we learn that our attitude should be the same of Jesus, see, Jesus could have came. He could have came in a cloud of splendor and with trumpets blazing and on a white horse with millions of angels behind him, just to take over the earth. But he came and was born in a lowly stable. He was born with no fanfare whatsoever. A few shepherds came, check it out. Maybe some sheep and some goats, you know, placed in there. But it was just Jesus, born in a lowly manger. Even at his birth, he was teaching us how to be humble. And when we come at people with a humble heart, with a contrite spirit, with our religious mask off, that everything is good, everything's shiny, there's no chinks in my armor, that I've been good since the day I was born. The reason why I'm up front with you, the reason why I share some of my story, is to let you know that we've got to be real with everyone that we come across. Because Jesus isn't this lofty individual that is not approachable. The Bible says that He was tempted in every way that I was tempted, in order that He would know what we are going through. Did you know God did not withhold one temptation from Jesus at all? Now I'm talking about even sexual sins. I'm talking about temptations of being drunk or being angry or frustrated and all these different things. Jesus was tempted in every way. We serve a God that understands. And because of it, we have hope. And we have this ability to go and to tell people the good news that you can serve the living God. Look at my life. I'm changed. I don't have it all together. I mess up here. I still have these habits. But I'm serving the Lord. And I want you to come and check out what God has done in my life. This is what the Lord is after. There's a video that I forgot to show you last week that I want to show you. I'll let you cue that up. When we witness, we should remember that your life is in God. This is the new life that comes at the time that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus has authority to breathe new life into believers. Once you are born again, your response should be a desire to serve others. Amen? So I want to show you a little clip of this guy walking through his neighborhood. Turn the volume up just a little bit more.
So I'm asking, how do I do this? How do I overcome my fears and reach out to my neighbor? How do I evangelize in my sphere of influence? I'm willing. I mean, if Tom needs a truck to move, he can use mine. If Cheryl's patio is falling down, I've got a bunch of tools. I'll build for a new one. I'll spring for the lumber. Or if Jack still wants to visit Aunt Betty in North Dakota, I'll buy him a ticket. I want to love him, not just with words, but action. You say you come to seek and to save the lost, to give them life, and life to the full. And I've tasted that, so I pray for your life to be part of their life. And I pray that I can play a part of giving them this neighborhood, this community. It's my mission field, right? But I don't know where else to begin, so I'm praying here. I want to serve you with my entire life. So here I am, Lord. Send me.
The question remains this morning, are you willing to do something that Jesus saw as important? Are you willing to share the love of Christ to a lost and dying world? Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. It's not your pastor that says, go. It's not the dignitaries of the Assembly of God that says, go. It's Jesus Himself that gave the mandate for all of us to go. Let's all stand up this morning. I showed that video so that you could see how practical evangelism is, how practical it is just sharing your faith. It's as easy as possibly replacing some boards on someone's house that can't do it themselves. shoveling someone's driveway that you know are not capable of doing it. A few weeks ago, my neighbor was, her husband was gone for the week, and it snowed a bunch. And she was over there with a shovel trying to shovel her entire driveway. And I was snow blowing my driveway and had one more line to go. And I got her attention. I went like this. I went. And she went. I'd never spoken to her before. And so I went over there and I got her driveway cleared out. And I was able to tell her, God bless you. I was able to invite her to church. I was able to get to know my neighbor by doing something as simple as that. And it impacted her. And whatever God has gifted you to do, use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. If you have a trade that you do for a living, use it for the glory of God. If you have a talent, if you have the gift of hospitality, if God has been gracious enough to you where you have an abundance of money and you know someone that needs their light bill paid, then do it. All for the glory of God. Evangelism isn't about standing at a street corner and preaching a message. It's not about just knocking on someone's random door and asking them if they know Jesus. Evangelism, the love of Christ, compels us to meet the needs around us simply because we love Jesus. His love, His compassion, His forgiveness is what causes us and compels us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. His forgiveness teaches us how to forgive our enemies. His forgiveness teaches us how to have compassion on those that others have given up on. What lives and dwells inside of you, child of God, is something so real, so raw, so magnificent that we need to be compelled to speak the way, the truth, and the life. And I can tell you that over this month of January, I'm going to be encouraging you every single Sunday to share your faith, to invite someone to church, to be forward with your faith. Let the secret out that you serve Christ. Let the secret out that you love Him more than you love anything else. Let the secret out. We're going to give you tools to do it. We're going to give you tools to speak into your life so that you can share the gospel of what Jesus has done, simply. And it can be as simple as this right here. It could be as simple as someone saying, wow, you should be really angry right now. What's going on? Well, see, the Lord took care of an anger problem that I had years ago, and because of it, He placed His peace in my life so that I deal with my problems differently. So I can't take credit for it because it was Jesus that took that out of me. That's part of my testimony. I used to have a horrible anger problem. But God, in His grace and His mercy, took that away from me. And because of that, because of it, He replaced that with His peace. And that peace sticks with me today. You see, a witness is not required to speak about what he hasn't seen and what he doesn't know. A good witness is required to only do these things: to say what they have seen and what they have heard. Amen? And so, let's all bow our heads this morning. Today, you may be here today and saying, Pastor, wow, you know, I didn't realize any of this. As a matter of fact, I'm not even a follower of Christ. I know about Him. I respect Him. But I'm not a Christian. One of my favorite scriptures, the first one I ever memorized, was John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him, would repent, believe upon Him, turn from their wicked ways. You know what the Bible says? He will forgive us. For God so loved the world. Today, you want to become a Christian, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want to be a follower, a devoted lover of Christ this morning, you have an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to call you out with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. If you say, Pastor, man, I felt that, and I want to follow Christ today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and just put it down. Just raise it and put it down. Amen. Amen. If you say, Pastor, I need this. I need to be forward with my faith, but I'm afraid that I won't say the right thing, or I'm afraid that I might fail, or I'm afraid people might see me as a hypocrite or a bigot, or they may reject me totally. I don't know exactly what to say, but your message today has spoken to my heart, and I want to have the courage to be forward with my faith. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. But Pastor, I no longer want to make this a private affair any longer. I want to be forward with my faith. Because once you get past your fear, God will begin to use your life in the most incredible, the most amazing ways that you can ever imagine. He'll cause you to speak into people's lives that everybody else has given up on. And because of that, it will strengthen your faith. It will give you a greater appetite to speak more for Jesus. So let's do this this morning. I'm going to pray over you. If you feel comfortable, I just want you to raise your hands. If you don't, that's fine. But if you feel comfortable, just raise your hands in a receiving mode. That's all this is. I'm going to pray over you. Father, this morning I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I speak over each and every person in this room that calls themselves born again, lovers of Christ. I pray, Father, that you would use every part of their life. Every part of it, Lord. In order that you may be glorified. Because your word says that if I be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. And so, Lord, I lift you up by the way I act, by the way I talk, by the way I treat my spouse. I lift you up by the way I conduct my business. I lift you up by the way I control my anger. I lift you up by the healing that you have placed in my life. I lift you up, Father. And whatever you see in me, Lord, whatever I have, I give to you to use freely. Freely, Lord. Use me. Every part of me, Lord. Just like the man in the video that was walking around his neighborhood. Whatever you can do in me, Lord, use me. Father, take away my fear. Take away the fear of rejection. Take away all of those different things and let the absolute desire for making you known replace all fear. Because, Lord, I can't speak about my brother's experience, but I can speak about my experience with you, Lord. I can speak on how you forgave me. I can speak on the peace that I have because I'm forgiven. I can speak about the healing in my body because you healed me, Lord. I can speak about those things because I've experienced them. I live in them. And so, Lord, use me. Would you say that to the Lord this morning? Just use me, Lord. Use me, Father. Use me to speak your name. Use me to give glory to you. Use me, Lord. Use me up for the glory of God. Because, Lord, I know that I was placed here for a reason. I know that I was placed in this moment in time strategically by you. And because of that, I give you all of me. All of me I give to you. I surrender this morning. Father, Lord, I just bless each and every person in this room. I pronounce a blessing upon their life, upon their marriages, upon their quiet time with you. I ask, Father, that everything that their hands put forth to do, you would bless them. I pray, Father, that you would make known your ways to them. You would make known their plan, your plans for their life in Jesus' name. God, I bless them. I encourage them and speak your word upon their life. May they go forth today, God, and make you known. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Listen, I love you guys. And I see inside of you something that sometimes you don't even see. And that is the potential that God has in your life to use for the glory of God. I see it. Until you see it, it will not be activated, but through perseverance, through continuing to follow the Lord, may God make himself known to you and make you of much use for his glory. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, you guys, thank you so much for coming today.